Bank.
Join me, Dr. Kamau B. Kokai.
And me, Yvonne Secreto Oren.
For a new health show on WBAI, Global Medicine Review. Every Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., where informative, cutting-edge conversations on the healing arts, culture, and community come together in a multiversity of topics on medicine, health, and living.
Global Medicine Review. Find the healer in you every Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.
on 99.5 FM, WBAI, New York.
Such a funny thing, but every time you're near me, I never can behave. You give me a smile and then I'm wrapped up in your magic. There's music all around me, crazy music, music that keeps calling me so very close to you, turns me your slave. Come and do with me any little thing you want to, anything, baby, just let me get next to you. Am I insane or do I really see heaven in your eyes? Bright as stars that shine up above you in the clear blue skies. How I worry about you, just can't live my life without you, baby, come here. Don't have no fear, oh, is there a wonder why? I'm really feeling in the mood for love. Tell me why, stop to think about this weather, my dear. This little dream might fade away. There I go, talking out of my head again. Oh, baby, won't you come and put our two hearts together? That would make me strong and breathe. Ooh, when we are one, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. It rain, I'm sure our love together will endure a hurricane. Oh, my baby, won't you please let me love you and give me relief from this awful misery?
What is all this wrong? All that loving me, my dream, I am not afraid. Not anymore, not like before. Don't you understand me?
Loving state of mind. I'm so tired of being without and never knowing what love's about. James, well, you can come on in, man, and you can blow now if you want to. We're through. Thank you.
love are hanging on me, push and shove. Possession is the motivation that is hanging up the goddamn nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut. Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what. Killing hogs, twisted children are killing folks. Poor dumb rednecks rolling logs, tired old ladies kissing dogs. I hate the human love of that stinking mud. I can't use it, trying to make it real compared to what. He's got his war. Folks don't know just what it's for. Nobody gives us a rhyme or reason. Half of one doubt, they call it treason. We're chicken feathers all the way out wonder. God damn it, I'm trying to make it real compared to what. Sunday sleep and nod, trying to duck the wrath of God. Preachers filling us with fright. They all trying to teach us what they think is right. They really got to be some kind of nut. I can't use it, trying to make it real compared to what. And where's that honey? Where's my God and where's my money? Unreal values, a crass distortion. Unwed mothers need abortion. Kind of brings to mind old young King Tut. He did it now, trying to make it real compared to what. Thank you.
Leroy Vinegar, Denny Bailey, Eddie Harris.
And, of course, Eddie Harris on piano. Okay, let's see. Oh, there I am. All right, it is 3:13. You are listening to WBAI in New York. This is Talk Back. 83 degrees outside. My name is Bernard White. I want to welcome you to this edition of Talk Back. As you know, the regular host of Talk Back, Hugh Hamilton, is on vacation. So it gives us an opportunity to do some other things in this time period. I'm joined today by I.O. Harrington. I.O. Harrington, who's a longtime community activist, focusing a lot of her work on education. She's also right now the communications director for On the Count. On the Count is a weekly program that comes on each Saturday at 10:30.
10:30 to 12 noon. And we focus on criminal justice and other issues, related issues.
Well, welcome, Aya.
Thank you very much. I'm really, really very glad to be here today.
And I also want to say that I think On the Count is doing a really, really good job, not only with people who are listeners who are not in prison, but especially among the prison population, that they see this as their program. And I think that is the key, that the prison program has to be seen by the prisoners as their program.
Right. Definitely. And we've been getting a lot of feedback from a lot of people who are in prison, people also who are on parole who consider themselves still to be in prison because they're doing what people refer to as street time. And as you know, although my background is education, it's the other side of the coin for the 500,000 children or less sometimes who do not do well in a school system where there are 1.1 million children. There are not a lot of options for them if they're not well-educated, and many of them, as we've pointed out in the show, and you've done so over the years as well, end up being fed right into the criminal justice system. So being well-versed and advocating on both ends is an important necessity for us.
Yeah. As some would say, it's the same thing, only different.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right.
But today we want to talk about bylaws, because I know you and I have had some discussions about bylaws, and BAI, in fact, Pacifica is going through a process now where there's going to be some changes in the bylaws, and this is part of the settlement that was agreed upon the return of Pacifica back to the community from which it was stolen. And there are many different approaches to bylaws. One of the things that we've been trying to do is give people some indication of what's been going on with the hope that they will get involved, because bylaws are extremely important, and we'll get to their importance in just a moment. But one of the things that I thought was quite strange with this particular process is that there is a rewriting of the bylaws. It seems that the bylaws would just need some adjustment, because it wasn't the bylaws that went wrong.
Right.
It was the people who were supposed to make sure that the institution was adhering to the bylaws.
Right, right. Yeah, it is rather odd. And actually, even though there are several versions of the bylaws floating around, people don't have to agree to look at one or any of the three. They can make their own recommendations, or they can go to the original bylaws and amend them if that is what they feel is necessary. But in all my experience, unless there was some legal instruction that otherwise mandated that they be redone in total, usually bylaws are just amended. And bylaws... existing bylaws determine how they can be changed.
Generally, it's for nonprofit institutions anyway. It's pretty much a boilerplate with mm-hmm. little subtle changes just to conform to your particular institution. Not so subtle.
Or your mission. I don't,
right.
But basically, obviously, they look a lot different. But, yeah, they determine, you know, what your name is, what your mission is, who your membership is. Sometimes you have membership that can vote to determine change for the organization, and sometimes you have a larger membership that can participate in limited ways. It determines who's in charge. Someone has to be in charge, no matter how people feel about that, who hires, who fires, whether or not employees can serve on the board, whether or not members of the board have to come from different constituent organizations that whose influence you want to bring to bear on the mission of your organization. All of those things are they must be included in bylaws. They can be very simple, and they can be very, very complicated. And the worst thing to do, particularly for an organization like WBAI, where we want to include the disenfranchised, the underserved populations who have been targeted for negative places in our society, we want to make the bylaws as simple as possible, not complicated. And that's what listeners need to think about and decide what they want the structure to look like. Their ideas are as important. And there are no experts. Nobody's an expert. It's very simple. You don't have to know a lot about bylaws to know what you want the outcome to be.
There are no experts, but there's no end to pretense.
That is for sure. That is for sure. But always it seems to be a painful process. You know, I've participated in organizations and been on organization boards where we're talking about one word, like maybe changing it from January to February. Could take forever.
Sometimes it's a comma. No, really, a comma can change the whole meaning of the sentence.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
But I don't understand. I've seen three different versions of the bylaws, and I get them kind of mixed up. I don't understand why people feel that it is necessary to rewrite the bylaws. They've worked. If they need to be tweaked or changed, pretty much it seems like that would be the best way to go. But, of course, it's up to listeners. It's up to volunteers. It's up to staff. It's up to people who want bylaws to look a certain way to participate in the discussion and decision-making and making that happen.
Right. There are no end to opinions, and I guess we're sharing ours today.
Yes, we
are. And as well as we should be able to, there's been very little comment from staff mm-hmm. about how they feel about or how we feel about bylaws, and certainly these bylaws are set the parameters in which we all exist here.
That's right.
The listenership... it is very important that the listenership does get involved in this process
mm-hmm.
because it you want to make sure that the set of rules that are going to be that are going to evolve out of this series of meetings is something that you can still support,
right, and that you can live with,
right,
and that is not and bylaws that don't exclude you. Sometimes when you talk about that comma or that one word,
mm-hmm.
That's enough. So, again, if you make it really complicated, things can get lost. People may not understand what it means ultimately until you come to a crisis or a situation where you have to look at that section of the bylaw and it determines that you can't do something that you thought that you could or that excludes certain kind of participation that you thought because of the mission, you know, not the bylaws, that, you know, obviously could happen. But people need to participate, and, you know, not by just, you know, calling in or maybe mailing in their comments, but participating formally. perhaps even suggesting an amendment to the current process in bylaw discussion.
Well, there certainly seems to be a need for some parallel changes. For instance, and perhaps these changes will come out of the bylaws, where people, it was some talk a little earlier about how the relationship between the local advisory boards was severed from the national board,
mm-hmm.
that they just pushed the local advisory board aside, and there was no real relationship to it. The local advisory board, supposedly,
mm-hmm.
are the people who represent the folks directly
right.
from the community.
Right.
And they bring up the community needs, the community ideas, community
right.
desires
right.
into a forum, which then gets moved from the local
mm-hmm.
To the national.
That's correct.
And then that becomes a part of the policymaking,
mm-hmm.
which comes back down
mm-hmm.
to the local radio station.
Right. And but in another way of saying that is that the national board works on behalf of the local communities.
Right.
Now, right. when that doesn't happen, you have a problem.
And that's where the problem actually began.
Yeah.
Because once that relationship was severed,
mm-hmm.
then the national board began to act independently
mm-hmm.
and not based on radio sense, but based on what they personally felt that should happen with these radio stations.
Right.
And there were some suggestions by a few of them that we should sell BAI, we should sell KPFA, and then use that money to buy more radio stations in other areas.
It never became
a part of the bylaws.
Right, and I'm trying to figure out why it doesn't even make sense for that kind of discussion to take place. I mean,
well, it never would have taken place.
Well, that's true, but just the thought process makes no sense.
Well,
I mean,
those were individuals who, as I said, bore after a while, little relationship to the local advisory board. There was no reporting to the advisory board about what it was they were thinking or doing.
Mm-hmm.
They just were acting independently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one area that we have to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right.
That these people who are from the local advisory board still reflect the interests
mm-hmm.
of the local advisory board,
mm-hmm.
that they're there to represent those interests. Because what happens is that the five stations pretty much have the same interest, and that is to serve the community from which they come.
Right. And for someone who may not have as clear an understanding of bylaws, we can draw a parallel between bylaws and, let's say, a housing organization or a low-income co-op or something of that sort, where the individuals own the building or the effort. They have a board. Their board hires people to do work on behalf of the membership or the low-income housing owners. And it gets to the point sometimes where the board and the contractors that they hire for the residents are working together and not on behalf of the membership. So things begin to happen like rents and maintenance costs get raised. People who have been able to live there, as in live in the station, are not able to stay because they can't afford to because of the money or the pressure or you know. I'm just trying to draw a parallel mm-hmm. between the two. But people need to understand that boards work on behalf of membership. And those people that they hire on behalf of the membership. So I think that the point that you make is extremely important, that in the development of these bylaws, the role of the National Board and their accountability to the stations must be very well defined.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of the struggle that takes place each Tuesday over at 75 Barrack Street. What floor is that, the 10th floor?
Oh, gosh. We're gonna find out in a second,
yeah, we'll
and we're gonna
out.
Let people know.
If I'm wrong, they'll be on me.
That's for sure.
10th floor at 75 Barrack Street. Each Tuesday evening, there are discussions that take place around the bylaws, and they're open. They're open, and your opinions are just as valid as anyone else's. You can come down and become a part of those discussions. The bylaws are very important, as you have heard. They determine the relationship that the workers as well as the community has to the organization.
It's the 14th floor.
14th floor, okay.
Yep, 14th floor.
14th floor at 75 Barrack Street. And the meeting starts generally around 6:30 in the evening, and you can, as I said, just come up and walk in and become a part of the discussions. We're going to open the phones up for discussion from you about a variety of things. I mean, do you think that there should be more discussions about bylaws? Do you think the type of discussions that are had should be changed? We should have different types of discussions? Are you tired of this talk about bylaws? Want to hear from you. The phone number here is area code 212-209-2900. My name is Bernard White here with Io Harrington. We're both producers at WBAI. And Io's been working with us for a long time, albeit in another capacity as education. But she's stayed with us and has some valuable insights to offer. Now, we have about, as you said, three different types
that we know of today.
Three different models.
That we know of today.
Right.
Yeah, and there are some similarities in all of them. I've not read all of them with a fine-tooth comb. But one of the things that's important about bylaws is who the members are. And so, for example, not to state my own opinion about this, but one draft says that there should be two different kinds of members, that there are members who are paid members, there are members who are volunteers, and it doesn't define them any other way. Another one defines them by saying that, that I'm getting a little bit mixed up, not the membership, but that the board, for example, the board can be elected in one, and in the other it has to come from specific constituencies. So ultimately, one draft says that 50% have to be women, and the other 50% have to be of color. So, you know, I'm a woman of African descent, and so I wonder what will happen if, for the sake of this not being more clear, what if all of the women are women of African descent? And the other 50% are all people from specific categories. So they're of African descent, they're indigenous people, they're prisoners, et cetera, et cetera. So again, there are people who are drafting these bylaws who believe that membership and or the board should come from specific constituencies, and there are others don't really address it except for in their definition of the mission statement and who the station is supposed to serve. Ultimately,
mm-hmm. There are, as you said, there are some similarities amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is when different groups form behind different models,
right.
And that's where the conflict begins.
And also, I mean, one of the difficult things I think about this process is that it's huge. I've never seen such a large bylaw process. Usually, if it's a large membership, they elect in their constituency someone to represent them, and so the group, while it might reflect the opinion of many constituents, there's only one person from each of them, or maybe two. But that's not what necessarily happens in a situation that's not better defined in terms of how the bylaws should be developed. It's very large.
Mm-hmm.
It's very large.
It's unwieldy.
And who the groups might be having a discussion might change at any time. So that the one group discussing bylaws A might show up this week at the meeting and have opinions and think consensus has been reached. And the next week, you know, it's another group. And it's difficult.
There's one, speaking of difficult, there's one proposal that talks about having 90 people involved, which is...
I can't even imagine that.
Well, I think it comes out of the whole... when the station was returned, excuse me, I said it, as it was returned back to the community, there was amongst some people, some of whom had no real relationship to the station other than being listeners, who now feel a sense of entitlement because they went to a couple of meetings, they were out on a picket line a couple of times. And
all of which is appreciated.
Oh, very much so. I mean, it is part of the whole milieu that helped to bring us back. However, they've developed from that a sense of entitlement that goes beyond rationality sometimes. And we're going to be honest about
that. Absolutely.
It goes beyond rationality.
Absolutely.
And the demands that they're making on the radio station makes it very difficult for the station to function as a radio station because it cannot serve all of those varied interests.
Under any circumstance.
Right.
And so you can't give, I don't want to say give in, but I can't think of another word, which I often can't think of these days. But you don't want to defer to one group, even if you agree with them over another group in terms of the process. All right? And so people are going to get angry. There has to be a tighter understanding of how the bylaws need to be developed and at what point. I mean, even the timeline that was determined for them, I think, is it passed or is it just coming up? But
no, it's very close.
It's very close, but these bylaws are not very close.
No, there's going to have to be
not very closely supported by a, you know, a consensus, so to speak. Although I'm not saying anything negative against one or the other, for this purpose, for the purpose of the show. But it's just that, you know, we've got three drafts. How close is that to determining how this station and the others are going to operate, and who is accountable to who?
See, if we were just operating from the previous bylaws, we would be talking about amendments that, you know, that...
That's right.
We would go vote up or down. But when you open it up to changing the entire set of bylaws...
But how did that happen? I don't understand. Was there something...
I don't think it really happened.
Was there some legal instruction that they had to be totally redone?
I think it's an interpretation of the legal instruction. I don't have the exact wordage in front of me, but I think it had to do with changing the bylaws. Now, you can change them by rewriting them in total, or you can change them by going
change
through them.
What, but did the instruction say change them to accomplish A, B, C, and D? Because if it did, then that might be what people would want to address, as opposed to redefining membership, redefining, you know, even just amending a particular sentence, so that if a particular sentence, whether it was membership or board, was not inclusive in a way that the writer or you know, group thought, they could just amend it instead of reinventing the wheel. I mean, was there ever an opinion that the bylaws were so horrible, or was it just that things at some of the stations got really bad because the national board was no longer accountable?
Well, I think that's it, and I think that what happened was that there was one amendment in particular that was put in with that severed the relationship between the local advisory boards and the national. But outside of that, the bylaws, at least to my viewing, seem to be pretty solid. But you could tweak it here or there to reflect the new reality. But to rewrite them to me was just strange. And I still don't see exactly where the wording of rewriting them came from, or the charge for rewriting them came from.
I don't know even, I wonder if you actually can do that. In other words, if you have existing bylaws, can you just legally, it's a legal document, can you just rewrite them? Because if you rewrite, who was supposed to agree to an amendment of a bylaw is the existing membership. So can the existing membership just agree that they're going to totally throw out their bylaws as opposed to amending them?
You mean totally reauthor some of the founding documents?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
a good question.
Yeah.
Good question.
It's a very good question.
Let's see. Let's take some of your phone calls here at area code 212-209-2900. My name is Bernard White here with I.O. Harrington, and we'll be with you for a little while. And then maybe we'll just end the day by playing some music. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Patty Heffley from the Coalition for Democratic Pacifica New York chapter.
How are you?
All these bylaws can be seen and read on the Pacifica.org site and WBAI.net. There are three proposals out there now. The reason why the bylaws are being written is because there was a lawsuit and a settlement that gave listeners, sponsors, membership status in the foundation. Which is what is trying to be had through these processes and through some of the bylaws who actually take seriously the idea that listeners, sponsors, have some rights in the foundation since we did manage to bring it back. And I think that the bylaws that were in process, that were in place, were violated because they were not proper bylaws. And the people that were in the situation that changed the bylaws could only do it because of the silence on the air by all the producers and management that never spoke out, although they did know that the bylaws change in February of 1999 violated the connection between the local and the national. So I'm all for rewriting the bylaws. I'm all for listener empowerment, and I think all the listeners should also be for listener empowerment. I think this program today is a bit of a sham.
Why so?
Because your opinions is laughing about the bylaws that are, you know, they only need tweaking. There's been bylaws meetings. I have not seen you, Bernard White, at the bylaws revision meetings, nor have I seen much of the staff, nor much of the programmers, nor much of the local advisory boards. It seems that the listeners that have been fighting to save this network for years are the people that show up every week to argue about these bylaws, and it comes to pass that the local advisory boards and the national board will be the people actually voting on processes that they are not even participating in. I think that should be revisited.
I agree with you 100%. I think that all of the...
I agree with her about 20%.
Right. I don't agree with you 100%, but I do agree with the last comment that you made, Patty. I do think that it's important for all of the stakeholders to participate in the discussion.
But they're not participating.
Well, can I finish? Can I just finish responding?
Sorry.
Okay, because you also made a comment that I have to respond to. You said that you think that today's show is a sham. I don't agree with you. First of all, it's something that has to happen. This discussion cannot only take place at 75 Derrick Street. It needs to take place over the airwaves. There are a lot of people, whether they're producers, a lot of producers, for example, can have discussions about the bylaws on their show. I think that the more it is talked about, the better. However, ultimately, there are right now, for example, three sets of bylaws. How to determine what the final, and this is just our recommendation. It's not the other stations. So ultimately, determining what they are going to look like has to be a process that is defined. It just cannot go on forever and ever and ever. I'm not saying it's bad that there are three copies, and, you know, I agree, participation is important, but I don't think today's program is a sham After all, it has provided you with an opportunity to give a little bit of history and context to other listeners about what has happened, and it will give that same voice to other people who call in. So,
well, I think that, you know, that the reason that these bylaws, to just say the old bylaws need tweaking or that listener participation needs to be included, this has been going on since January. And so far, you know, there has been a process of a group from this bylaws committee that has been trying to make a program from the bylaws committee, and we have still to this day not had a program that we have been trying to produce to give
I'm not clear.
This is the use of the airwaves.
Wait, I'm not clear on what you're right.
The listeners are not being included. You, Bernard made a comment about these people that, you know, saved the station and now they think they have a sense of entitlement. Well, I would say the same about the programmers that have walked into the network and think that the network is theirs. The network is all of ours. And until that is recognized through the bylaws change where listener sponsors become members of the foundation, this is a sham.
Okay, well, your opinion is important, and you certainly said, I would say, and you said it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Now, you know, Patty Heffley has been around a long time, and she's been doing some work around these various issues. But, you know, about the producers, they're not all of the producers. We don't all do the same thing. We all don't all have the same level of understanding. But there have been programs prior to the coup and when things happened throughout the network where producers did shows or made mention of what was going on. You know, you can say something over and over, but people will hear you when the conditions become right. Now, when we began to, even before the coup, in fact, that Saturday, that the coup happened on a Friday, that Saturday there was going to be a teach-in here at the radio station about listener-sponsored radio. We're going to talk about Pacifica, and we give people an update on just where we were. Excuse me. And many people, you know, would hear that, but people didn't get immobilized until they tuned into the radio station and the programs that they thought should be there or that they wanted to be there were not there.
Right.
That's when people began to move. So, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. There, people are going to move when the conditions are right for them to move. And because, you know, many producers, I know Robert Knight did several programs, even Paul DiRienzo, before he lost his mind, he did a lot of programs. We did programs on Wake Up Call. Other people also did programs around it. We had Dennis Bernstein on talking about before what took place at KPFA, you know, talking about what was happening at the various, throughout the network. But it didn't all come to translate into any action until the conditions were right. Now, when I said that about the listeners having a sense of entitlement, well, yeah, there's listeners as a result of the settlement, as a result of the struggle that we went through, there is an additional ingredient that we now have to incorporate into how we operate. I have no value judgment on that. That's the reality. So now with this new group that has to be incorporated, and call incorporated, you can call it entitlement, we have to work out that new reality. But, you know, nobody's saying anything negative about
right.
that.
Right, and the relationship. And,
sure.
And the thing is that I'm looking at three sets of bylaws before me, and I'm not going to call any of them a sham. I have heard other programs where people have discussed bylaws. I have not supported perhaps some of what they've said. I'm not going to call their opinions a sham.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of today's show and discussion is to further people's involvement in the process. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you can even decide, this is what it's going to be. This is how we're going to operate in my house. These are the rules and regulations. These are what the bylaws are going to look like. And 85% of the people will vote and say, okay, I agree with it. So even if you hate it, sometimes you have to live with it. Mm-hmm. Everything may not work out or look like what every person wants it to look like. That's, you know, what happens.
And then, too, you know, BAI, before any of the other radio stations, was having programs around bylaws. We have had them before any of the other radio stations started having them. We still have them on a regular basis. We try. What happens is if you don't give folks a show from 3 to 5 every day, then
on their particular opinion.
Right. But, see, we have listeners who listen throughout the broadcast day.
Right.
What happens to the folks who can't hear it from 3 to 5?
Mm-hmm.
So we've had it on in the 3 to 5 hour. We've had it on in the morning. We've had it on in the afternoon. We've had it on in the evenings, trying to give everybody a chance. Now, we're not going to settle anything here.
Right.
Hopefully we can stimulate people
mm-hmm.
to go to those Tuesday meetings
right.
where the melding of all of these ideas is supposed to take place.
That's right.
The AI, you're on the air. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Sorry about that.
All right.
Hi, Bernard. How are you today?
Okay, how are you?
I'm Amelia here.
Hi.
Two things. I'm not quite sure why you would want people to come to the Tuesday meeting. I don't understand. Is this just to further the public's understanding of what the discussion is around, what people are discussing at these meetings? Or is it to add to the discussion, have more positions or have people bring ideas to these meetings? I mean, from what you've been saying up to now, it sounds sort of like it's a pretty unwieldy kind of process. If you add more people to it, does it make it more unwieldy?
Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I certainly agree with that word. That's what it feels like to me, and I'm just one person. That's my opinion, and I think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
But when decisions are being made about structure, the outcome is based on who the participants are.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do not express an opinion that voices how you would like the outcome to look, then you will not be represented, and you know, that's structural outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you go to a meeting and people have decided that it's for one purpose, and you decide because of your numbers or because of your reasoning, because of your facts, whatever it might be, that it needs to be another kind of meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is open to the public, it is mm-hmm. a public meeting, you can determine the agenda, you know, the discussion.
Well, you can.
And the process. But it takes work, and it does take ongoing participation.
And it takes the agreement by those who are running the meeting.
That's correct.
To have
also.
That open. And I think that, you know, we all know that there's some problems with that.
Well, you know what? That is with almost every organization that I have been affiliated with in terms of, you know, boards and process.
Mm-hmm.
And it can change because people run things because you give them permission to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you decide, you know, at some point that things need to change, then you make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I mean, I just like to talk about the household, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you have three children and you decide to give them separate chores, and you find out that, you know, when you have given Malik the responsibility of washing dishes after every meal and your dishes keep breaking, you might want to decide that you're going to let one of the other children take over that chore.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's how you have to look at process and meetings and bylaws and operations.
Mm-hmm.
It's the participants who make the decision about how things go.
Another point regarding the three models.
Yes.
Has there been a show made, you know, perhaps I've missed it, in which there's been, you know, someone giving the basic a basic understanding of what the three models are over the air. Now, I heard Patty just now saying, mm-hmm. you know, you could go online.
Right.
Yada, yada, yada. Not everybody wants to do that, can do it, you know, or whatever. So has there been a show in which I know two models, the Sooner model and the constituency model, have been discussed.
Right.
What about the third model, and can we have just a concise, at some point, review of the three models?
I think that that's a good idea. I think that this last one that I got might be a new model that is floating around. I'm not sure, to be perfectly honest with you, but I think that that makes a lot of sense, that someone, I don't know who it might be, maybe someone not even related to WBAI, that we give that person the three models and let them analyze the differences and the similarities. It's not a bad idea. On the other hand, I believe that while I like hearing somebody summarize something that I don't have a lot of time to look at, it is important to read the document.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know one of the things that they used to say about black folks?
Hide it in a book.
That's right. That's right. Dottie Height and all kinds of people, you know, way back in the day used to say, if you want to hide it from black folks, now this also can relate to some of the other people out there, if you want to hide it from black folks, put it in writing. So yeah. I think that the summary is good.
I agree with that, but I think if people tuning into this, hearing that this type of show is going to be on the air,
mm-hmm.
A discussion about the Bible, as might expect to, you know, to maybe be refreshed or, you
mm-hmm.
know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And then the dialogue can proceed from an informed position rather than,
right.
you know, people saying, well, I think, well, I heard. And,
right.
You know.
Absolutely. But I still caution people and encourage people to read the document, mm-hmm. whether it is a bylaw, whether it is your lease before you sign it, you know, or your agreement
absolutely.
With a credit card company or, you know. Sure. But I think that you're absolutely right, and it's a suggestion that I will certainly repeat and push for.
Yeah, these bylaws, this third version was put together by Dave Bertig, who is a member of the National Board. He's from KPFK, and he put this together. And I think that, you know, one of the other things, too, when you begin to summarize these pieces that aren't your own, you open up yourself to be accused of mischaracterizing
mm-hmm.
what,
mm-hmm.
what's
mm-hmm.
being done. So that's why I urge people to get involved themselves
mm-hmm.
so that they can begin to see just what these various models are about.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for your call.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
Peace.
You're on the air. BAI, you're on the air. And you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Astro calling Chelsea. How you doing?
Okay, how are you, Astro?
Okay, you know, one of the things we got to maintain throughout the press, whether it's radio, WBAI, or FM, or any other media in the United States and around the world, is freedom of expression and freedom of the press, because without that, there's nothing except the spread of ignorance and no debate about ideas, no debate about concepts, and no debate about philosophy or science. And no progress, because the dark ages happened because the books were held back from the people there, and they weren't published or printed, or held in monasteries and so forth. That's all I got to say, and I wish you all good luck and God bless you.
Thank you. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I think that the word Patty used before, it's about this being a sham, is somewhat strong, but it is questionable why a presentation of the bylaws should be made by people who seem to know so little about it. They don't know why they're being reformulated. They don't know the exact relationship of the lawsuit to the proposal to change the bylaws. They don't know that the bylaw changes are being pursued under the present bylaws. I think that might be what Patty had in mind. But I want to urge people to come to tomorrow's bylaws meeting, because one of the things that is expected to happen is distribution of a list of sort of straw poll votes that have been taken at these meetings over the months that indicate the position of the people who have attended these meetings on questions like the relative power we want to see the Central, the Pacifica Board have, or the station boards, the question of who shall be able to vote, people, just people who contribute $25 a year to become a member, people who do a certain amount of volunteer work.
Are you saying that because you or some others have had the luxury, the opportunity to attend a lot of meetings, that therefore now you have a sense of that you, as a result of that, that, you know, anyone else who comes after you, that they pale by significance?
No, my feeling is not, I'm not comparing anybody with myself. I'm saying that people who present the bylaws, a bylaws discussion, should themselves know very much about the bylaws.
You've made that point. What I'm asking you, because you said that you were going to, because what makes this significant is that there's going to be a straw poll of various votes that were taken.
There's going to be a distribution of the results of straw polls over the months. So somebody can catch up with what's been going on in a way that they're certainly not going to be able to do on this program.
You won't
do
that
to straw polls. But you know what? The thing is this. The purpose of this program, and we talked to this at the beginning of the program, the purpose of this program is to give people an opportunity to speak, not necessarily us to speak. You know, whether or not you think we know a lot about bylaws, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. But all of those things that you just mentioned in terms of membership, whether it's paid, whether it's volunteered, whether all of those things were mentioned. But it is not our purpose in this particular show to read all three versions of the bylaws.